Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts in all our minds be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, Carol, preaching on the first instalment of what we might call the John the Baptist saga, because it seems to keep coming around. And she was speaking of this weird and yet amazing character who gave his message in the desert and who demanded that all should repent. Today, I want to begin by reimagining John in our own time, our own world. Maybe trudging up and down the streets of Tetnall Wood. Maybe brandishing his stick at the motorists passing by. Maybe challenging the shoppers in their fraughtness, or daring to barge into the queue for the post office, or overturning the pint glasses in the Royal Oak, or the latte drinkers in Vanilla. I think John would be getting everywhere. Repent. Repent, he says to each and every one. Whatever you're in the middle of doing, repent, have a rethink. Is this really your number one priority, the most important thing that you could be doing? Repent, turn your life around, for God is coming, and nothing matters more than that. I say, I love to imagine it. I love to think of that turning over of all attitudes and assumptions. But as I thought back over it, I've realised that it was wrong in one respect, because I've spoken in generalities, turn your life around. Well, what does that mean? John was actually very, very specific. It seems like he looked at each person in the eye and spotted what they needed to do, the specific change they needed to make. You, share your food. You've got a spare coat, give it to someone else. You, stop exploiting people. You, I know you made a false accusation. Well, you've got to stop that and change it. Cut your complacency. End your hypocrisy. That's how you've got to change. Maybe different for each one. But where those words strike, they seem to cut to the quick. Because each person really knows deep down what they've got to do. In church, we do repentance. We have a bit in our service called prayers of penitence, so it proves it, doesn't it? Except I wonder if John would really be convinced about this. We say a prayer of confession, and I'm sure we are sorry for our sins. But I kind of wonder if that's really repenting as John meant it. Because he is asking for a real desire to change. We have to ask ourselves, do we change how we actually live because of it? Part of the thing, the prayers of penitence, is a pause, a short silence, a time to stop and think. And it strikes me that that pause could be really powerful if we used it properly. But I'm not sure as I do anyway. In fact, I confess I don't. Very often, the pause is a moment for the mind to tick over with something to panic about, to remember the thing that I've got to say next, or whatever it might be. That's not a sin to recall. That's just the mind going too fast. I think, actually, to be real in penitence, we either tend to think too little or too big. Too little is the sort of things, oh, I confess I forgot to say to X to bring Y when they call next week. You know, it's just a minor matter. Forgetting is not really, barely a sin as such. Or else we go too big. I confess I'm less than that totally 100% loving person that I'd like to be. True, but I can't deal with that in the next 5 minutes or the next week. What John was doing is looking people in the eye and identifying specific individual actions that could be physically, feasibly carried out. Can you finally fix that time when you're going to pray every day? Will you act on your intention to make a charity donation for Christmas? Which neighbour are you going to invite to the Christmas service? Stop procrastinating. It'll be different for each person. But there are things we each one need to address as we hear John's preaching. And when we do address it, act upon it, then we have repentance and acting on multiple of those small things so they become a habit. That constitutes the changed lifestyle that he calls us to. Repentance sounds a very churchy word, something of no concern to the world outside. But John the Baptist style repentance, actually, it seems to me, is a very normal human concern. Lots of people have a sense that there's a better person inside them that's just longing to get out. If only there was something I could change. I guess it's why so many people make New Year's resolutions, however unsuccessful they may be in keeping them. Because that New Year, recognise that this becoming a better version of ourselves actually has to involve purging ourselves, getting rid of some old habits and attitudes, the things that we wish we didn't have, if we're going to have the scope to embrace something new. If only we had some help in sticking to those resolutions. Well, actually, we're going to try and help as a church. In the new year, we're going to be running a four-week course on Saturday mornings. It's going to be up at the Good Shepherd. It's a course called Resolve, and it's designed to help people think through resolutions and maintain those that will make a positive change in their lives. It covers four main areas: looking after your body, strengthening your mind, inspiring your soul, and deepening your relationships. It won't be using churchy language like repentance, but in a true sense, that is what it is, repentance. But hopefully it will connect with people who aren't yet coming to church. For those who are Christians, it's about being your true self before God. And of course, we have the added bonus of the Holy Spirit straining within us, just longing for us to cooperate in this venture. And for those not yet able to embrace the faith, it's about the individual positive steps that you can make to be a bit more like the person you really want to be. There are no magic bullets in achieving such change, but the sort of qualities we're likely to need are courage within and encouragement from the outside, honesty and self-awareness, humility and grace. And everybody has to recognize that we will make lapses, forgettings, failings. Otherwise, we wouldn't have challenged ourselves enough. Christians know we are assured absolutely of God's forgiveness and renewal, so we needn't fear any failures. Just think of the possibility, the new behaviour that we've chosen to adopt, slowly becoming second nature, a new way of doing things that becomes instinctive. That's the fruit of repentance. We think of John the Baptist and his explosive preaching as putting the fear of God into his listeners. And we know fear can still be a powerful motivator. For how many of us does it take a trip down the doctors and a blunt prognosis before we're prepared to change our diet or lifestyle? How much better, however, to do so positively, out of hope and vision, a vision for a life lived to the full, a hope of being drawn into the fullness of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Prophet Zephaniah saw the people turning back to God, repenting. And he made the joyful announcement we heard in our first reading: The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. May that be the fruit of our repentance in the new year or right now. Amen.